Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Who has been most impressive through 2 weeks of the NFL season? Whether a team, maybe a particular unit, offense, defense, maybe it's one player that has stood out for you as you've watched games these first two Sundays and course Thursday, and then we'll get another Monday night game coming up in the NFC North. Lambeau Field will be christened for 2021 with a game against the Detroit Lions coming up in just a few hours. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, we're asking you to vote for Monday MVP. We've given you four candidates, and I dare say Lamar Jackson is top of mind. Couple of interceptions early in the game on Sunday night against the Chiefs, down 11 points in the fourth quarter, and yet Lamar and the Ravens find a way to get it done. On offense, yes, absolutely. Converting a fourth down, keeping the ball away from Patrick Mahomes with an extended 8-minute drive, but also the defense. The defense staring down at one of the most potent offenses in the NFL and yet holding that offense to almost nothing in the fourth quarter. A pair of turnovers produced, actually, by that Ravens defense. And so I love the way that Baltimore responded after what was a painful loss in overtime in Vegas on Monday. So Lamar Jackson right now is in the lead, nose in front with our Monday MVP. But you can continue with the voting on Twitter or on Facebook after hours with Amy Lawrence. And who's impressed you, but who's also caused you fits or given you heart palpitations or maybe made you want to put a hand over your eye or peeking through your cracks in your fingers. Gilberto on Twitter, amazing performance by Lamar Jackson. It's his team now. I think it's been his team for a couple of years. He says, look out for the Ravens. They are muy bien equipo. I appreciate that, Gilberto. Thank you. If I'm not mistaken, he calls or he's in San Diego. So what's been most impressive? What's been the cringiest from these first couple weeks? And we're going to give you some more candidates. We've talked a lot about the NFC West, of course, for the first half of the show, our West Coast audience. We got a shift now, though. How about the AFC West, because it featured Raiders also coming off a Monday night game and on the road at Pittsburgh, who had won in Buffalo in its season opener. The Pittsburgh offense had the same slow start, similar to what we saw in Buffalo last Sunday, except the Raiders don't really take advantage. They managed three field goals in the first half. And do you remember Derek Carr talking about their slow start last week against Baltimore? So both these teams, both Las Vegas and Pittsburgh, not doing a whole lot in the first half to be able to kind of set that groove and rhythm. But really, the first month, there's a lot of inconsistency. Now, Ben, in the second quarter, does have he engineers a 75-yard touchdown drive that's capped by a Juju Smith-Schuster run in that drive, a 41-yard strike to Deontay Johnson, real pretty catch from him, and the Steelers go up 9-7. That's your score at the half, 9-7. But you knew, well, you maybe were hoping, if Monday night was any indication, that we would see Derek Carr click into his own rhythm and kind of get comfortable. Certainly has plenty of weapons. We know that to be the case. The way that the Oakland Raiders are built, even going back to last season, plenty of offense. It's been the defense that is the problem. And so Derek Carr and the Raiders are behind the eight ball to start the second half. But what we know of Derek Carr is that the man can sling the football.
Drake stays in the backfield. They don't motion him out. Foster Moreau's over to the left. They stack three receivers. Lobbing it toward Moreau. Got it. How about that touchdown pass? Jackpot, baby. Drake in the backfield. Carr takes a snap from the gun. Pump fake. Going to go deep down the middle. Got it. Ruggs grabs it. Jackpot, baby. Henry Ruggs goes the distance.
That's Brent Musburger on the Raiders radio network. And so Derek Carr with these drives in the second half, they're much more like what we saw when they finally found that rhythm against Baltimore. The Vegas Raiders scoring on three of their four drives in the second half. And the signature moment is probably the Henry Ruggs 61-yard touchdown. He's on my bench in fantasy. Thank you for caring. oh, are you serious? You too?
Yeah, for Henry Ruggs is sitting nicely on my bench with that 20-point winner.
Oh, my gosh. That was painful. I don't know whether or not... I'm all done for the week. My opponent has a tight end from Monday's game. Shoot, who is it? It's not Green. It is Robert Tonyan, actually, from Green Bay. But unless he has 40 points, I will get a win. But it doesn't.
I think you're okay.
It doesn't make me feel any better that both J.D. McKissic and Henry Ruggs were on my bench and both had over 20 points. But that is the frustration part of fantasy, right? So I feel better. Both producer James and I survived to week 3 on Survivor Island, and we both made the same miscalculation with Henry Ruggs on the bench. Anyway, I digress.
But yes, crap.
This is about the Raiders. It's not about our fantasy teams. Nobody cares about your fantasy team, Amy. So Vegas scores on 3 of 4 drives in the second half. They tack on a late field goal. They run out the clock. It was masterful. It was completely the opposite of what we saw in the first half. So maybe one of these days, the Raiders will be able to put together 2 complete halves of football. But Derek Carr finishes 28 of 37 for 382 yards and a couple of touchdowns. And still, he sounds focused. He sounds like exactly what this team needs. They're not going to rest on 2-0 and think all of a sudden they've changed the world.
Everyone after the game's like, hey, we'll celebrate on the plane, but as soon as we land, it's time to get back to work, you know, and it's time to move on, go forward, and hopefully sustain it. You know, that's the goal.
This says a lot about the development of our team. We had guys on call ready to go. I can't tell you, Peyton Barber came in here, did a nice job. Just really proud of our coaches and our players. The effort is outstanding. If you're a Raider fan, you'd really like these guys.
So both John Gruden and Derek Carr comfortable with where they are. Of course, you take the wins and you get the heck out of Dodge, especially going on the road in Pittsburgh. Now, the Steelers had opportunities but could not capitalize. Roethlisberger throws an interception, though he does have a touchdown. He's just shy of 300 yards. But this is something that jumps out at me. Only 39 yards rushing. Still, that renewed or rebuilt offensive line in front of the quarterback and in front of Najee Harris, he did have a little bit of room to run, but he did most of his damage actually catching a pass and does have his first touchdown as an NFL running back. And so the Steelers just didn't do enough. They only finished with 17 points. And yes, they were missing guys on defense, but that doesn't really explain what's going on with the offense that has sputtered for a good portion of these first 2 games, at least. Couple of flags in there, an interception, but as I say, just not enough with their opportunities.
Right now, my play is just not good enough. If I play better, we have a chance to win the football game. And so that loss, I'll take that. I apologize to the fans for that home opener. They were awesome, and it's disappointing that we didn't get that.
From a penalty standpoint, we hurt ourselves positionally and so forth, and we didn't play smart enough from a penalty standpoint. That can't be a characteristic of our ball. Part of being a tough team to beat is not beating yourselves. I thought we beat ourselves in the areas of penalty today. There were several possession down-like plays that we didn't perform well enough, particularly over the second half of the game, that I thought created the outcome and the reason why we're sitting here at 1-1.
Actually, every team in the AFC North is 1-1. But yeah, frustrating when you have a lead and you just can't generate a whole bunch of offense in the second half. Now, larger problem, bigger picture for the Mike Tomlin Steelers is that they lost TJ Watt to a groin injury. We don't know the severity yet, but they also were without Joe Hayden and Devin Bush on defense because they have groin injuries too, so they were ruled out ahead of time. You know, it just doesn't get easier at any point in the AFC North. Next week, Pittsburgh is also home at Heinz Field hosting the Bengals, who lose to the Bears on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Honestly, I feel like this is familiar as well if we're talking about Chicago. The fact that that defense for the Bears can win games all by its lonesome. It really can. At what point will they have a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, an elite quarterback to go along with their defense? I don't know. Justin Fields was a guy that fell to them in the draft and they were thrilled. Justin Fields got thrust into duty on Sunday, and it was rough. Now, let's give the Chicago defense credit. Four consecutive takeaways in the second half, including three interceptions in a row off of Joe Burrow. And so we're talking about a defense that was fully prepared, obviously knew exactly what to expect against Joe Burrow and the Bengals, and it was a field day.
Ball at the 48-yard line of the Bears. 10-3. Bears the lead. Left to right for Burrow and company. In the gun with Mixon to his left. Bunch set to the right. Now it breaks off. Higgins beyond the numbers. Paired in the slot to the right. Boyd and Jamar Chase. Safety's back. Snap to Burrow. Looking right. Throwing right. It's intercepted. Intercepted by Roquan. On his horse. 40. 30. 20. 10. 5, end zone, touchdown Bears.
That's the call of Jeff Joniak on the Bears radio network. And so you think, right, after three consecutive interceptions, three interceptions in a row, that in the four turnovers in the second half, the Bears are cruising. Well, Joe Burrow still knows what he's doing, right? And so he comes back with a quick touchdown. I think that was the 1-2 Jamar Chase, which went nearly 50 yards. And then right after that, Justin Fields throws an interception and gives the ball back to Joe Burrow. It was mere seconds later. And so, yeah, two quick touchdowns around that Fields pick, and all of a sudden things look a whole lot different. But Justin Fields does this well. The Bears are able to run out the clock and they hang on for that win, their first, 20-17. And so for Chicago now, the question becomes not the defense. The defense is fine. The question becomes, what about Andy Dalton and what about the offense? And Matt Nagy, of course, midstream had to adjust his play calling to his rookie QB, whose skill set is completely different.
With Justin, he's probably further along than we thought at this point right now. So if that's the case, then we feel good about it. And Justin he's worked really, really hard to get to this point. Even today, like in that moment, as a rookie coming on in that situation, super calm, super cool. Even after the interception, when that dropper, he dropped in the zero look, made the play. He was very cool coming out there and knowing to try to make a play, but he's done that his whole career. Like, that doesn't fluster him. So that's a strength that he has. So we'll see where everything goes and where it's at. But for sure, if Justin, he's done what we've asked him to do, and we feel good with him.
When I'm out on the practice field with my teammates, I try to play every play like a game. And I just try to keep that calm mindset and calm mentality to just, you know, not make the moment bigger than it is and just go out there and play football, because that's all it is at the end of the day.
Don't know much about Andy Dalton, just that it's a knee injury and that Justin Fields may be thrust into duty earlier than what Matt Nagy and the Bears wanted. I mean, it wasn't pretty, let's be honest. And so give the Bengals some credit for that. But the way that Justin Fields, at the very least, managed to get his offense to run out the clock there late in the game was huge. And you let the defense do its work as well. And so for the Bears, they're now sitting at 1-1. Weirdly enough, they are on top of the NFC North. Either the Lions or the Packers will join the Bears at 1-1 come Monday night. The numbers on Fields, by the way, 6 of 13 for 60 yards and an interception. And that's playing more than a half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So getting back to the AFC North, because that's really my theme for this start to the hour. We know the Ravens got their win on Sunday night over the Chiefs, so they're at 1-1. We just talked about the Steelers. They win on the road in Buffalo, but they spit the bit at home against the Raiders. The Bengals at 1-1, so we talked about. They got that victory in overtime against the Vikings to start the season, but then lose to the Chicago Bears and that vaunted defense, which brings us to the Cleveland Browns, who are also 1-1. And this was a game that I had a couple of moments where I know Browns fans were nervous, especially when Baker Mayfield threw an interception, made a tackle, and then rolls over on his shoulder, kind of holding it, and gets up really gingerly, and of course has to go into the locker room. This is right on the heels of Tua getting injured, right on the heels of Andy Dalton leaving the game, and it's like quarterbacks dropping like flies. And so there were some disjointed moments there early on because Tyrod Taylor and the Texans were playing really well.
And Joku, Higgins, Peoples-Jones to the left. Quick snap. Mayfield back. Pulls it down. He's going to run. And he's going to drive. Touchdown, Baker Mayfield! Unbelievable! Schwartz and Peoples-Jones below us to the right. Mayfield under center. Chubb the running back. On second and nine. Motion by Schwartz. Mayfield takes it. Gives it. Chubb runs. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He's in! Touchdown! Chubb!
He didn't chub you.
Oh, what a run!
Jim Donovan and company. Jim's one of my favorites in NFL radio play-by-play on the Browns network. And so, yeah, this was a situation where the Browns had to rally because Tyrod Taylor is 10 of 11 in the first half, 125 yards. He's got a touchdown pass and a touchdown run. And meanwhile, in the first half, the Browns are turning the ball over, and that's giving Tyrod and the Texans extra possession. So they're tied at 14 at the half. But then, big surprise, rookie Davis Mills starts at quarterback because Taylor is dealing with a hamstring injury. And so this was a huge surprise, probably for the fans, but also for the Cleveland Browns having to pivot right there to start the third quarter.
As a backup quarterback or the guy who's next up, you always got to be ready for anything to happen. So, I mean, starting the game, even in preseason, at any moment, you got to mentally prepare yourself to go in that next play.
So Davis Mills becomes the sixth rookie quarterback to see time in these first 2 weeks. Wowzers. He does have a touchdown, but he also throws an interception. And regardless, it's not enough because Cleveland scores on the first three drives of the second half. We've seen that potential for a potent offense. It's about some of the mistakes, the turnovers that kind of negate or cancel out the good that they've done, but that's all part of settling into a rhythm this season. So Nick Chubb, he finally breaks loose, a 26-yard rushing touchdown. Baker Mayfield, get this, only misses on two passes in this game, though he does have the interception, but 213 yards and a touchdown. And of course, they want to be able to come out of the gate a lot faster.
We didn't start well. We made the plays when we needed to and later in the game, but turning the ball over twice again, just not good.
There's a ton to clean up, offense, defense, special teams. There's a ton to clean up. Certainly we'll look at those things and what we can do better. It's all something that early in this season we'll look at all of it and make sure we improve.
So every single team in the AFC North is 1-1. Well, that's funny. I told you this division, as well as the NFC West, these are buzzsaws. These are probably your most competitive divisions. I don't know if they're your best, but they're your most competitive from top to bottom. And we're seeing that play out even in these 2 weeks. Now, when you're talking about 2-0 teams, there isn't one in the AFC North, but in the American Football Conference, you have a pair of perfect teams in the AFC West. And that does not include Kansas City. So we know the Raiders won. The Broncos also won on Sunday. And they've won both their games on the road. So regardless of opponent, you take those road wins and you freaking get the heck out of Dodge. So those are your two perfect teams in the AFC. Now coming up, the Chargers were trying to stay undefeated and move to 2-0. But they had the Dallas Cowboys as their opponent. Of course, Dallas trying to avoid an 0-2 start. We'll talk Cowboys football straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Prescott's going to be under center.
He's changing the play.
He sure is. Elliott comes up, says, what are we doing? He backs back up behind him. Under center, first and goal. There's a handoff to Elliott coming right. A big Zach Martin block, and he blows through. He walks the dog. Touchdown, Cowboys. I'm just going to tell you that Zach Martin looks like a guy who didn't get to play football last week.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network. Sweet moment for Ezekiel Elliott and the run game, and of course the Cowboys offensive line. And yes, after Zach Martin misses the opener because of COVID protocols, he is back out there leading the charge, and he makes such a difference. The Dallas Cowboys rush for 198 yards against the Los Angeles Chargers on the road Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This game tight pretty much all the way through for a few reasons. It's 14-11. Isn't that a weird score? 14-11 Dallas at the half. And Los Angeles with Justin Herbert, who continues to impress. Is there a throw that Herbert cannot make? I don't think so. And a lot of people would point to him and say he's got the strongest arm in the NFL. Maybe he's got the second strongest arm in the NFL if you compare it to Patrick Mahomes. But either way, this guy can fling the ball anywhere on the field. And he's so, to me, he seems so advanced in terms of his field awareness and his pocket awareness. And so it's a lot of fun to watch him play football. The problem is the Chargers make these awful mistakes at the worst possible times. They get penalties that wipe out positive yards. They get penalties that wipe out touchdowns. Then Justin Herbert, who seemingly makes all these great decisions and extends plays, throws an interception in the end zone to wrap the third quarter. DeMonte Casey picking him off. And so that pick leads to a Dallas field goal and a 17-14 lead at that point. Middle of the fourth quarter, there's another Justin Herbert touchdown pass that comes off the board with an illegal shift flag. And then there's a third down play that's whistled dead. And I know people were frustrated over the number of flags in this game, but it's never determined by the referees. The flags do not determine who wins this game. The Chargers had multiple touchdowns come off the board because of their own mistakes. They shot themselves in the foot with penalties in this game. And so you cannot blame the referees when half the time you don't know if you're coming or going. 12 penalty flags for the home team, 100 yards, and 2 turnovers. How do you blame that on the officials? So LA has to settle for a field goal when that fourth quarter touchdown is removed from the scoreboard. It's 17-17. So here's the moment of truth for the Dallas Cowboys. They get the ball back with 4 minutes to go. And I know people were screaming, well, as much as you could be screaming on social media, but even on the broadcast, it was Jim Nantz, it was Tony Romo on the CBS broadcast. And Romo is questioning, why are they allowing the clock to run down? Why are you not running another play? Why are you settling for what was a 56-yard field goal attempt by Greg Zuerlein? Now, Mike McCarthy later said they had a substitution issue. They had a personnel problem. So they had the wrong guy on the field. And by the time they realized it, they were down to 17 seconds. And they felt like at that point, if they run another play, they're getting too dangerously close to not being able to get their field goal team lined up, yada, 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 yada. So anyway, he explains it like that. I guess something else happened too. The scoreboard clock went dark in those last 30 seconds. And so for whatever reason, and I'm not sure exactly why, nobody on the Cowboys sideline could see the clock running down. So they were losing track of time. So they have someone in their headsets counting them down until they would blow the whistle or until they would call for that last time out and they would hear the whistle blow. So yeah, weird stuff happening. Do, 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 do. In Los Angeles, I'm going to assume that at SoFi Stadium, a brand new clock doesn't malfunction all by itself. Though maybe it did. Either way, Greg Zuerlein out there for the moment of truth.
33 seconds left on the clock on the at the end of the Pollard run before.
You know what, though, Brad? It's all going to be a moot point and all going to be forgotten after Greg Zuerlein hits this 56-yarder.
56 for the win. Right hash. Snap. Hold. Kick. Kick on the way. Kick is good and the Cowboys win. We knew it all along. Just the way they planned it. Zuerlein from 56 for the win.
To come in here and win this game was important on a number of fronts for us. We needed it, and more, we needed the confidence that goes with this win. So winning in this league so hard. So I'm just proud of the guys.
It's only one game, but huge, just the confidence. Confidence of getting that first win, especially on the road, going into your home opener on a Monday night. We know what that atmosphere is going to be like, and it's important to be going into that off of a win.
So we'll talk about that Dak point and what's next on their schedule. But he goes 23 of 27. So great completion rate. 237 yards. He does have an interception. There were a fair number of mistakes for both these teams. But ultimately, the mistakes that the Chargers made at home with nearly 100 penalty yards and the turnovers, that's where this all went horribly wrong for Herbert.
We win and lose as a team, and unfortunately, you know, I didn't play as well today, and we turned the ball over and had some penalties. There are a lot of things to clean up, and we didn't play the ball we needed to win today. We just had some calls and some penalties that got brought back and some turnovers, and I can't turn the ball over in the red zone like that and expect to win. And that's a pretty good offense we're going up against, so we got to put up more points.
So the Chargers and the Chiefs are 1-1 in the AFC West, and the Raiders and Broncos, just like everyone plotted it after 2 weeks, they have yet to lose in the West Division. In the NFC East, well, this is how it goes. Initially, I thought maybe the way the Eagles started, I was going to have to really revamp my expectations for the Eagles this season, but the division is shaping up exactly as I expected. No idea what's going to happen. So Washington is 1-1. The Eagles are 1-1. The Cowboys are now 1-1. That leaves the New York Giants in the basement of the NFC East at 0-2. And coming up on Monday night, Dak referenced it, the Cowboys at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. So their first home game. Remember, they were in Tampa to start on a Thursday night, and then they have to go cross country to play in LA. But if I'm not mistaken, the Cowboys now have three consecutive home games, which will be nice. It'll be sweet to get comfortable there. Their first opponent out of the NFC East, the hated Philadelphia Eagles. No, I do not mean I hate them, just to clarify. I mean the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles have no love lost. We know that to be sure. So that is your Monday night game in week number 3. No rest for the weary, but they've got three consecutive games at home, which will be nice for them. And I believe, again, this is weird because I don't normally remember schedules. They have the Patriots in week number 5 on the road, and sure to be a high-profile game there. Speaking of the Patriots, segue! I didn't even plan that. Sometimes a blind squirrel. Patriots and Jets in the NFC East. We know they've got all kinds of a traffic jam. How about the AFC East? Because we had all four teams kicking off against each other. Patriots, Jets at MetLife in New Jersey on Sunday, and Bills on the road at the Dolphins. So we'll get to the dramatic AFC East. You know, I always call the NFC East the soap opera of the NFL, but man alive, there are some other candidates this season all jumbled up. We think we know, but we don't really know, especially after 2 weeks. So what's been most impressive to this point? Who or what has been most impressive to this point? And who or what has been the cringiest? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Plus, you can cast your votes for Monday MVP. How is it 2.5 hours into our show? The only way I know is that my stomach is growling fiercely. I'm going to have to do something about that so it doesn't start bleeding into my commentary. But the microphone's sure to pick it up at some point.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And 10. Wilson. Intercepted. Picked off by Adrian Phillips.
He almost had one in the previous series. This goes through the hands of a leaping Corey Davis. Two possessions, two Jet turnovers. Johnson the back, third down and four. The time inside, Wilson. Intercepted, third of the day. Picked off at the 14-yard line. The second today for J.C. Jackson.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
There were plenty of misses and messes for Zach Wilson, his second career start. The New York Jets hosting the New England Patriots in the AFC East, and man, this was brutal early on for the rookie. Similar to the season opener for the Jets, he got better in the second half, but by that time, it was too late. So let me give you the gory details for Zach Wilson, even as you hear Kevin Harlan, woo, on CBS. The first two passes by Zach Wilson were both interceptions. The first two passes were both picked off by the Patriots. That second turnover sparked a New England touchdown drive. They go 72 yards in six plays. And remember, Mac Jones is also a rookie quarterback, getting comfortable. Finishes with a James White touchdown run of 7 yards. By the way, side note and a nerd alert. This is the first time in the history of the Jets and Patriots, and I believe that they span about 150 games between the two of them, first time we've ever seen two rookie quarterbacks start in this game. That is quirky, but also a nerd alert. Exactly. Was waiting for the band to get warmed up there. So the first 10 Patriots points come off turnovers, but you take what the opponent gives you. So then Zach Wilson has three completions and his third interception. That's what he does in the first half. Three completions, three picks. Patriots are only up 13-3, though, because the Jets defense is playing extremely well. In fact, they had already sacked Mac Jones three times in the second half. Zach Wilson and the New York Jets begin the second half, well, the same way they started the game. A fourth interception and a missed field goal. And so things are going horribly wrong. I guess for Robert Saleh, at least you can look at your defense and say, yay. But you can also know that you have no place to go except up. So there are two things happening in this game. Yes, Zach Wilson is getting his rookie lunch stolen from him and his lunch money and everything else. And he's having to learn the hard way. I mean, this is clearly not going to be an easy integration for him. But at the same time, the Patriots, even though they had many more opportunities, and even though they have a Mac Jones who has looked good, he's really impressed, they have a run game that's been dominant, they continue to settle for field goals. They were 1-for-3 in the red zone, and Nick Folk is now setting records for most consecutive field goals in Patriots franchise history. It's great that you have a competent kicker, but you need to get into the end zone because against teams, better teams, I remember they lost to the Dolphins by 1 point in the first week. And what happened? In the second half, they had two, if I remember correctly, 14 play drives that both ended with kicks. Against the Jets, okay, you can get away with that stuff, but you cannot continue to use field goals as your top weapon if you want to win this division and claim this division back from the Buffalo Bills, who are the current champs. And so the Patriots go 3 of 12 on third down, even though Mac Jones looks good, 186 yards, no touchdown or no turnovers. Damian Harris runs for another 62 yards and a score. But once again, the problem for me, the biggest issue for me that I feel is really glaring, the defense played well, and they don't even have Stephon Gilmore back there yet. The issue is that they can't continue to settle for field goals when they need touchdowns. So in the second half, they get a touchdown at the beginning, and then the rest of the way, field goal, field goal, field goal. So they win 25-6. The Patriots win going away, and there's a lot to be happy about. But they have to know that there's some missed opportunities out there as well.
We did some good things here. We hit a few balls. But, you know, overall, we got to do a little bit better. We had a few third down conversions, and then there was some, you know, we had a little pressure. So, you know, it's all come down to good team offense. You know, it's not just about one guy. We got to We got to block. We got to throw, catch, get open.
They did absolutely face a fierce defensive challenge from the Jets. So the Jets looked really good on defense. So they're now 1-1. The Patriots tied with both the Bills. We'll get to the Bills coming up and the Dolphins. And so we'll do that game here momentarily. Mac Jones, though, even though I don't love the stat quarterback wins, now has a win next to his name.
I think it feels good. Obviously, it's hard to, that's just what everyone's saying. It is hard to win in the NFL. And we played two games and won one and lost one. So you got to take it for what it's worth and we'll get better.
At one point, I just stopped looking at Zach Wilson's stats. He has four sacks to go along with his four interceptions. And even though the Jets rush for 152 yards, even though, as I say, the defense plays really well and does get to Mac Jones, the problem is you cannot turn the ball over that many times. And these were some poor decisions by Zach. It wasn't just about the offensive line. You can't be blaming the line for all this stuff. Some of these balls he just overthrew or shouldn't have been throwing at all. He should have been eating the ball or doing something else with it, anything but throwing it. And so he heard the boos of the Jets fan at MetLife.
I'm not paying attention to it, but they should be booing, right? It's exactly what I just said. We're not playing, we didn't play well on offense. You know, our defense gave us a good chance to win, and we didn't execute, and we didn't move the ball well. We didn't score any points, so we got to do a better job there. They did a good job, man. It's tough. First two passes or interceptions, we're putting our team, defense especially, in a bad spot there, and, you know, I got to do a better job executing.
Well, Zach Wilson credits the Patriots, and certainly both defenses played well. And the way that he started this game, it's a lesser man or woman who doesn't have the same mental toughness or fortitude that would have curled up in a ball and cried. But that's not what you can do as an NFL quarterback. I mean, that you've got to be able to forget that and move forward. But it's also the job of the head coach and the coaching staff to try to keep this guy as confident as possible, because if you do have a rookie quarterback who immediately has his confidence blown all to hell, well, then it becomes much harder to rebuild the guy. And so what was the message from Robert Saleh to his rookie?
Just to believe in himself and to shake this one off there. And I promise you, it's not going to be the hardest game he's ever played. So he's got to pick himself up and just get ready for the next one. They do a good job. They're one of the best man coverage teams in football. And there's a lot of I'm sure there's a few throws that Zach wants back, obviously, and but there was nothing schematically that our offense wasn't prepared for.
I love Robert Saleh. I'm a big fan. I mean, he's amazing. Already, I like him as a head coach. But your message to rookie is, oh, it's going to get worse. I don't know if that's what I would have gone with. Okay, anyway, Patriots, Jets. That was one of the AFC East matchups. How about the other? Bills had lost to the Steelers at home to start the year, and then they go on the road in Miami trying to avoid the 0-2 start. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This one took a dramatic turn early on, and even though Josh Allen is not yet in the groove that we saw from last year, a win is a win, and a shutout is even better.
McKenzie in motion. Snap. High snap. Josh brings it in. Looks to throw. Looks to the end zone. Still looking. Rolling right. Waits. Fires back left. Got a man wide open. Caught. Touchdown, Buffalo. Stephon Diggs wide open in the end zone on the back end of the play. Touchdown, Bills. Second and goal from the 7. Again, tight formation. Josh takes the snap. Toss, sweep, left side. Zach Moss looking for blocks. Gets one, gets two, gets inside the 5, spins around, and heads into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo.
That's John Murphy on the Bills radio network. And so for Josh Allen, for the Bills, they go on the road in a divisional game, and they get the shutout. It looks like total domination, right? But still, there's a lot that Josh Allen is going to want to clean up. 17 of 33, 179 yards. He did have a couple of touchdowns, but he also had an interception.
Hell of a job, you know, protecting all day. And again, our guys made some plays. And to feel the way we feel, knowing we could have played better, winning 35-0, I think that's a good problem to have.
One stat that did stand out to me is that Buffalo was a perfect 4-for-4 in the red zone. So opposite of the Patriots taking advantage of their opportunities, and the Bills go for 145 on the ground plus 3 touchdowns. So lightening the load. Remember, that was the big question mark for the Bills to start the season. What about their run game to complement Josh Allen and the receiving corps? So good news for Buffalo. Again, how often do you come away with a shutout in any type of a game, but certainly a divisional game? As for the Dolphins, as you can imagine, once Tua Tagovailoa had to leave this game with what was diagnosed as rib injuries, he was replaced by Jacoby Brissett. Miami manages just 11 first downs and not even 200 yards in this game. Now, Brian Flores, as the head coach, is not going to blame the loss of your starting quarterback, but of course that throws everything into flux.
I mean, we didn't play well in any area. I mean, we beat ourselves. Penalties, drop passes, missed tackles. You know, and that starts with me. I got to do a better job. I got to do a better job of getting us ready to go. That wasn't the case today. And, you know, give Buffalo credit. They're a good team. They played well in all three phases. But we need to do a much better job from an execution standpoint and give ourselves an opportunity to be in the game, which, you know, I thought, you know, early we missed a lot of opportunities.
Jacoby Brissett takes over for Tua. He refuses to call himself the backup quarterback. He says, I don't think of myself that way. But he did have to step into duty relatively early. He goes 21 of 35, 154 yards and an interception. So this is all around on the offense. And, of course, Brian Flores is taking blame, too, for not having the team prepared. As a backup QB, whether you want to call yourself that or not, you always have to be ready. The next snap could be your call to get out there on the field. But things went horribly wrong. So credit the Bills. Both sides of the ball, they did what they had to do. It was a shutout. They get their first win. For the Dolphins, though, we await word. Tua has rib injuries. The initial tests do not show any broken ribs, any serious damage, but they were planning to do an MRI on Monday morning. AFC East, it is all tightened up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.